This insert is brought to you by Radio Cape Pulpit on 7-9 AM. Visit us on www.capepulpit.co.za.
Voice of Change time with myself, Lauren Jacobs, here on Radio Cape Pulpit, 7-9 AM, and have I got a show for you today. I have got an incredible show and you are going to love it. You're going to be challenged, you're going to be changed, and we're going to be talking about something that I consider a super important topic, a super important conversation that we need to be having right now, especially as we have seen, you know, COVID happening, the pandemic happening this year, and we've all had to do something that has been sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. You know, we've had to go more online and we find ourselves more online. You know, we are living as well in a digital age. We are living in this time where we are so connected, you know, online. We are using social media. We are attending church services online. We are using technology to connect us, whether it be streaming or whether we are just feeding into our own small groups or small communities. We are using this, you know, more than what we had anticipated. And maybe things will change, maybe they won't. But tonight, I'm joined by Chris Beckett, and she is a scientist turned pastor. She currently serves as the pastor of innovation and multiplication at Salem Fields Community Church in Virginia. And she's also ordained in the Church of the Nazarene, has a master's in divinity from Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. And you know what? She is what we call the online pastor, the engagement pastor, engaging with people online for her church as well. And so she has such a beautiful wealth of knowledge when it comes to talking about how to use what we also have in the digital world and the technology that we have, the social media that we have, and how to use this adequately and properly with a balance. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're not just talking about, hey, you know, be balanced in things that you do. We're going to be talking and getting into some deep stuff today on Voice of Change. I cannot wait for this conversation. Welcome to the show. Settle down, settle in with us. We're going to have a good time together and we're going to learn together. We're going to be a little bit convicted together maybe, but we're also going to consistently remember what God has called us to do. That is to love and that is to serve. And so welcome to Voice of Change. It's going to be a great show and Chris is joining after this. Chris, it is so good to have you joining me today. It's going to be such a great conversation, and I'm really, really looking forward to the topic that we're going to be talking about. Social media and, you know, technology is so important with this world that we're living in today, with the digital age that we're in. And so, firstly, I want to say, Chris, thank you so much, and welcome to Voice of Change.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for the invitation to be here. It's great to chat with you today.
Well, you know what? I have not actually heard anybody in South Africa yet have the title of online pastor. So explain to us, which is really cool, because now we are telling the listeners maybe something that they haven't heard before. So what exactly does an online pastor do?
So with the, I guess, the pandemic, I think, has really brought that piece out in a lot of different churches, but even pre-pandemic, our church has had an online presence. Mm. So not only broadcasting services online, but also creating a community on there. And the way that we do services isn't just people watching, but there's an engagement piece. There's people that engage in a chat. And so they have a screen name, you know, kind of like the old time, I guess, AOL kind of stuff, or, you know, some of the social media that we use today, that you get like a little screen name and then you kind of type, you know, different comments and thoughts. We ask questions and we usually get the same people that, you know, join us from time to time, and you build relationships with folks. And then through that, we also do lead some Zoom small groups. Okay. Through Zoom, through Google Hangouts, through some of the other online platforms that people can be in different locations and in their homes or wherever at different times, and they can join from wherever they are. And so that's been kind of neat, is forming this kind of online digital community, whether through chats, through video calls, through watching something and then commenting on it together or watching it at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's been different because we're used to face-to-face pastoring, but this mm-hmm. is just a whole new realm. So that's kind of the gist of that, building that online community.
Hmm. But this is so cool, actually, because it's actually such an important role as we are growing as a society, as a global world, and we are in, as we say, this digital age, and as more people are looking, you know, to social media, which is what we're going to be getting into today, and technology and online for maybe their fellowship or, you know, hearing church, hearing the word and connecting. I think what you're doing is so important because, like you said, it's not then just about somebody, you know, listening to the pastor preaching. It's actually community as well. People get to chat, they get to talk, and you get to, like you said, see the regular faces just like you would in at a church building and get to connect with them. So I think that's really, really cool, and it's really important. And I think it's something that can be more and more established, you know, in what we would probably consider developing nations, where people are not so online but are getting more online now, like in South Africa. You know, a lot of people have access to their cell phone, and again, like we said, during this year, COVID has really forced people into different realities and prevented people from fellowshipping at churches. You know, we had that a lot here in South Africa. We had severe lockdowns where we could not fellowship for many, many months, and so people have had to join online services and interact so much more with communities online. But as this has become our norm, and for some people now, they are struggling, you know, to go to the physical building now because it's so much easier to get out of bed 10 minutes right. before the service starts, you know, when you're still in your pajamas and you're like, okay, I'm joining online now, but even the church is open. Are there dangers that happen in this kind of lifestyle where we begin to kind of rely on what is happening online instead of maybe being in small groups, you know, physically, or going to a physical building, connecting with people physically like we normally would? Are there dangers that also can become apparent that we now starting to see now that people have had to go online?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that's something that we have to really think about as we engage in these other formats, and how do we do that? How do we best utilize them? And also with caution too, if there are dangers, and many of the things that you described, we've encountered here in the United States here. I'm in the state of Virginia. And, there was a time that we weren't allowed to gather in buildings, and people, even our worship team was filming their parts from homes, at their living room, dining room table, that kind of thing. So they're trying to be creative there. But I think for me, and as I've, you know, worked in this realm and, you know, also seen other churches that I've been in conversation with, I think the kind of digital reality works best when it is the tool and not the substitute. Because I think, if anything, what COVID has also taught us is the value of face-to-face communication and face-to-face community, and how nothing can really, really substitute that. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different thing that you can't recreate by looking at a screen. Maybe someday we'll have holograms or something like that, but for the time being, there is something there that is lost in that digital communication. That doesn't mean that we abandon it, and that doesn't mean that, okay, well, we only use it as a vehicle to get us to say, okay, we're going to connect with you online, and now you have to come to our building and we have to meet you face to face. But I think the danger comes when it just becomes a substitute, like you were saying, where you say, okay, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to only engage online, even though I could be engaged in person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I think of like, I don't have any teenagers, but I have some friends who do, you know, and there's that fine line between the social media being helpful and connecting the kids. Yeah. And then there's also an isolating factor when they're in their rooms by themselves and that's all that they do. Mm-hmm. And I think church, unfortunately, we can do that. We can create this kind of isolating version of church. Instead of it leading to those face-to-face communications. I just like to think as our digital presence always leading to a community and to a face-to-face conversation.
Wow, there's so many things that you mentioned here that are so, so important. And it is so incredible to think that we talk about often, because I come from a psychology background, and we talk often about the disease of the 21st century as being loneliness, you know, that that has become, and isolation has become the disease of our current world. And we seem so connected almost in a way, because people seem to be connected via social media. You know, it's like this ability to have all these followers or maybe all these likes, but it's not actually connection. It's not a depth of connection. Sometimes there needs to be something possibly more. And so could it be that if we just, exactly like you said, you know, if we begin to use, you know, the digital world as the substitute and not the tool, we could actually be further perpetuating a cycle of loneliness. And like you said, even with our young kids, which we're going to touch on just now, but even with young people, it's like there could be further isolation, and maybe we need to guard against that, and it's a challenge for us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where, that's the kind of the edge right there, that fine line between it being the helpful tool that is building that community and is helping people to experience God in a real way, and becoming almost an unhealthy tool that is keeping them from experiencing real community or showing their real self. And maybe even, you know, experiencing God in a real way, in real life, not just in a podcast or watching a service or in a chat. So I think those things are just good things to keep in mind as we're doing this, because as you know, everybody's online, and I mean, all the companies and advertisers and, you know, we're getting into the Christmas season, and there's buy, and there's so much that just kind of plagues us that way. Yeah. We don't want the church to just become another version of that or another participant in that.
This is so important, and it's almost like it is such an important conversation to have, and it's like a challenge to the listeners as well, people who maybe just engage, you know, on, you know, digital platforms, but maybe also for faith leaders that are listening to consider that this needs to be a tool and not a substitute, which brings me, Chris, to my next question, which would be really maybe a practical way of how do we then use technology as an effective tool to reach people, because we can use it for that, which is exactly what you said, and we're not going to just abandon it, but how can we use it as a tool? Are there a few things that maybe you can share with us that we can keep in mind as we are using this technology so that we can lead people to, you know, Christ and to also fellowship and to also be the people that are true disciples and that know the word and are not just feeling isolated or unknown or unseen, which can also happen, but maybe we can use technology effectively as a little bit more of a tool if we kind of had a few tools or know-hows how to do this. So do you have some little bit of, you know, maybe some tips and tricks on how to do this?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that's a good question. I think we're all trying to figure that out, right? In some way, shape, and form. And I think this last year has kind of thrown us into the gambit right there to learn more. But I think if we can think of the online community and presence, whether that's through social media and video and YouTube and just all those different platforms that are out there. I think if we can think of that just like the front porch of the church, you know, like in past years and decades, you know, you would think of engaging the community. What would you do? Well, you would go to the schools. You would go to the fair. In or the festival and be present there and serve people. You would go and clean up trash on the side of the road and serve at the homeless shelter or get gifts for people, you know, and that's stuff that we continue to do. But I think we have to think of our online presence just as important as that. And because that's where people are. I have friends that are not part of church that are, you know, kind of pre-Christian, you know, trying to figure out what they believe. And they're online like all day, even though they're working. And you probably have friends that way too. And some of our listeners too, know people, they're online all the time and they're texting all the time. And that's just a part of our lives. So we as Christians, you know, we have to be present there too. And I think when we can offer help, when we can offer support, and whether that's, you know, through different social media avenues, even creating some online events that people can engage in and participate in. I'm just a big part of the engagement piece more so than the watching piece. You know, I think watching is a good kind of first step, but I think ultimately we want to be able to engage people. So I've seen some churches have done even some support groups in this time for loneliness, for people that are struggling with addiction and can't get to a group meeting, and just to come together and to talk and to, you know, share, and it's open to anybody and everybody. And and get this, I've even led a Zoom trivia night, and this was open to not just our church. Yeah, it was so fun. we've done it multiple times. I'm going to plan it again for January.
I want to come. I have to come.
Yeah,
I love that. Oh, my goodness.
We'll have to work the times out, I guess.
Yes.
But yeah, it was just so great. And we had people that were just heard about it on Facebook and, just joined us. And it was, you know, it was fantastic. And because of Zoom, you can put people in rooms that they're partnered up with. So they got to meet people and it was just fun, you know? And I think also that like the church needs to do that too. Like we as Christians, like we should be the kings of joy, kings and queens of joy, right? Cause we have the creator of joy. And this is, you know, even that time of year that we celebrate, you know, the joy to the world. So we can, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, we have to be all serious and holy and have Bible studies all the time. And that's good, but we can do some fun stuff too. And that's also a means of engaging with people online.
This is so cool. I love this because this is like totally new things that we're talking about here as well, which maybe some churches listening or people in their churches listening are like, yeah, we're also doing that. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And this is so much fun. I definitely want to know about it. I love those trivia nights. And we have this little local community hall in our neighborhood where we live, and they have like these trivia nights, like quiz nights, you know. It's so cool.
Right.
But this whole year, obviously, you know, we haven't been able to do it. And it's just like there's something missing, you know, because it's just so much fun. And I remember as a kid, like playing bingo, even with all the people at old age homes. And you can't do that. You couldn't do that this year. You know, so this is so much fun what you're talking about. And again, using this in different ways. I know that one of the things that was so impactful for me this year was being part of a conversation that took place, I think it was around about June or July, where 70 different faith leaders from 70 different denominations in South Africa got together and actually had an open conversation about domestic violence, you know. And just hearing, we were all together, and then we also split off into rooms to talk about our experiences and how to help people in churches, you know, as we saw gender-based violence becoming so highlighted during the pandemic. I know in the States as well that was happening. Here it was happening all over. And so it was really cool because to get 70 faith leaders from different states and provinces together in one room almost doesn't happen that often, but it was like using, you know, Zoom to bring us together. And what came through that was so powerful. So I think that it's exactly what you're talking about as well. It's this tool that we can use. It's good, and we can use it for good. It's just up to us to be able to do that. And I think that that's so important. But, you know, we're going to go to such a quick song break. I'm loving the conversation today. We don't want you to go anyway. Stay with us because we're going to continue after this. You're with me, Lauren Jacobs, here on Voice of Change, and I'm joined by Chris Beckett, who is out with us all the way from the States. Not physically, of course, but we are using exactly what we're talking about today, a little bit of technology to connect us together. Now, Chris, you know what was so funny is today I went out for some coffee. It was all on my own, just having a good cup of coffee. It was really great, and there was these older retired friends sitting next to me. They were probably about in their 70s, and they were chatting, and the one lady in the group piped up. There was about six of them. She piped up and she said, "People these days are going to church on the internet." And it was so funny because you and I were going to have this conversation, you know, and I was like, trying not to stare at him. And this lady was like, people these days are having church on the internet. And it got them all talking. And I realized that this is also a generational thing as well. It seemed very hard for people that are, they were over 70, you know, to think about not being together. And I find that millennials, we're pretty comfortable with doing this whole online thing. But people that, right, the generations kind of that went, I don't know if we say after us or before us, I think before us, mm-hmm, it is very hard. I saw it like with my parents and with my family members. It was very hard for them not to be physically with people. And you know what? I'm trying to wrap my mind around this as well. If we just begin to use technology as a substitute, which is very, very dangerous, we could also be isolating generations, different generations, where some people, younger people, could be like, okay, this is cool online, but older people, we could essentially lose that. And so this is a generational thing as well, whereas young people might not then want to come to a physical place, but older people do, and we stand a danger of isolating different kinds of people. And have you kind of seen that or thought of that or experienced that?
Yeah, that's a good thing to bring up, because I think there is, there has been that kind of push trying to get, I mean, I know in our church, we have some people that they're not online. They're not, you know, they have an email that they really don't check. They're older. Mm-hmm. And it's been a struggle for them to still stay engaged with the church, because they're relying on a phone call, you know, that maybe we can give once a week just to check in, but it's not a worship service. It's not community. It's a lot different. So, I think what you're saying, I think that's something also to keep in mind too, but also look at it too as an avenue for, you know, some teaching and learning as well, because I think sometimes we underestimate the can't teach an old dog new tricks thing with some of our older generation. And a lot of times, like, they just don't know. You know, they don't know how to do things, and there's kind of that, a little bit of pride there, like, I really don't want to ask because, you know, now I'm the old fogey type thing. But we've had, like, a lady in our church, she just turned 93, and she's on Facebook, she's on, wow, worshiping online. Yeah, and she just needed somebody to teach her how to do it. And the same thing I know with my parents, they're both in their 70s, and they've been worshiping on, continued to, just because of, you know, with the state of things in the city that they live in. And, you know, so for them, it was an adaptation, but I think what you're saying, I think having that connection though, is really crucial. And I think that's a call to the church, and that's not just church leaders, but also, congregation members and church members and Christians to keep in mind, you know, who is it that I haven't seen in a while? Mm-hmm. Who is it that I can reach out and have a telephone call with, if not a Zoom call or even a porch visit, and check in on? Because I think that's also a valuable thing, especially as, you know, some people maybe haven't been physically back but long for that. Mm-hmm. You know, what can we do to maintain that unity? And I think the same thing with younger people too, you know, with our, you know, kids and teenagers, and, you know, that's, they live online. I mean, mm-hmm, I know lots of teenagers that are here in the States that are, you know, at the age to get their driver's license, and they aren't, because they're with their friends all the time and in their room online. Hmm. It's just a really crazy thing for me to think about, because, yeah, I was like, I was like 16 and longing to drive. And, but I think, like, even for those parents, it's trying to not allow that to become that isolating factor. And I think also one of the ways that we do that is through service, you know, and that might be calling on an older member, but it also might mean some younger people being engaged in their community, serving others, having opportunities to do that. Because I think that reminds them of that physical, tangible, face-to-face value there that's not replaceable.
This is so cool what we're talking about as well, and encouraging people then to serve. But you know what? It also makes me feel, as I'm listening to you and listening to what you're sharing, it also makes me feel that ultimately our goal that we always say as Christians is to love people and to serve them. And ultimately, that's what this is really about too, isn't it? Then that, you know, right. We cannot forget that that's what we are called to do. And oftentimes, I know for myself, I mean, I'm a young person and I totally work most of my days from home and I can do that. But there comes that point where you actually miss that physical interaction with someone. You'll just drive down the road to the local coffee shop mm-hmm. and be like, hi, just because you wanted some physical interaction with someone, and then end up having like a good old chat, you know, because right. I don't know, it's like that, I guess we're all different and some people can be totally okay on their own, but I still feel that we miss that interaction and miss worshiping together, you know, as a group of people that are actually physically together, and maybe someone just coming up to you and just praying for you, you know, maybe it's a friend who just wants to be there for you, even though you're not going through something. So I think it's so important and it is so critical, like you said earlier on as well, that this pandemic has really shown us that, you know, we do want connection and we do want to be engaged and with one another. And this also brings me to think of something else that I was thinking about. The big thing with social media these days is, of course, the influencer desire or the influencer aspect, you know, where there's that hope of, oh, my video is going to go viral, or my preaching is going to reach so many people, or I'm going to create a post that's going to get so many likes, I'm going to get so many followers or fans. And a lot of people feel the pressure then to just consistently put out things. And this is something that could definitely become a problem, not only to the churches, but to preaching and pastors themselves. And then we have to critically assess where we are going, not only as individuals, but as individual churches. And I think that this is something we have to really guard against. And, you know, from your perspective, what critical assessment should we be doing? And just to make sure that our hearts are in the right place, we need to kind of be looking at this and going, you know, what, where am I in this? So what critical assessment should we be doing as churches and also as pastors?
Yeah, I think if we're looking at solely the number of clicks or the number of views or the number of shares, we're missing something, you know, because you know, it's just like, you know, a church that, which, you know, we can't get around the attendance thing. You know, we're always excited when there's a big Sunday and we have a lot of people, but you can easily get caught up in the numbers game. And I think that's where the danger happens, that you start getting trapped in just chasing this idea of fame. And, you know, and there's a bit of pride there too. Oh, look how many people want to see me, or look how wonderful, you know, our worship is, and people are sharing. And I think it can easily become a consumable. And unfortunately, I think for quite a few years, in different ways, the Big C Church, you know, the kind of universal church, has gotten caught in that trap of just making things consumable, relating just to a consumer mentality, to say, well, come, you know, we're going to provide a product you like, a product that makes you feel good, a product that's good for you and that you can leave and want to come back for more. And there's a tension there, because in the Bible, in scripture, like, I see a totally different call to discipleship. So because there is a cost and there is going to be discomfort, and it's not always going to be what you like. And so I think if we're tapping into just the idea of what's going to make people click more, tap more, can be counted more, I think that's where we have to examine our hearts and our motives, and then really ask the question, why are we doing this? Why is our church doing this? Why am I as a pastor doing this, or a lay leader? You know, what is it that's driving me for this? Is it necessarily connecting with people, reaching with people, building community, or is there a little bit of something else in there? And I'm guilty of this just as well. You know, we're kind of wired to like toot our own horn to a T. And, but I think that's where it's that examination, you know, just even in your prayer time, your alone time with God, just to say, what is my motive here? Why am I pursuing this? Because it might mean humbling myself and, you know, and engaging in a different way. And instead of chasing those numbers, really building into the people that have engaged and have brought it, instead of just making another product out there for somebody to consume.
This is so important. And I think it's, something that we all got to think about, because maybe we're not doing something online, but sometimes we could be doing something else. We could be, you know, engaged somewhere else, and we could actually be doing it, like you said, creating something that's almost just a product, when God has actually called us to do something that is so good and for His kingdom. And then we kind of push it, and we've got to just so look at our hearts. And I think that all of us can take that moment just to think about this and think, okay, why am I still doing what I'm doing, whatever it is, and what should I be, you know, humbling in my heart, and what should I be looking at? And it's so important, this. And you know what, Chris, just lastly, I wanted to ask you something. There was something so interesting I was reading today. I wasn't reading it very intensely, but it was in The Economist magazine. They were saying that they anticipate that 2021 is going to be a year where we will see a tech deceleration, because in 2020 we were all forced into an acceleration in using technology and being online so much. So they anticipate, you know, people that kind of, these economists that kind of look at future trends and see what's happening and what's happening with people, and they say that this is something that they see that might happen next year, and it's going to take place, that people are going to be drawing away from this, a little bit of a deceleration. And I think that might be a good thing. But again, we need to have that balance of how we're using tech and how we're not using it. And so, but maybe this might be a good thing, because when we think of missions, for example, missions especially to countries, there are so many countries I think we tend to forget in the world that actually don't rely on technology. You know, third world countries, people that don't have access. I mean, they're collecting water from rivers. They definitely don't have Wi-Fi in their homes. So I think that we have to think about that, and think sometimes people forget about that. You know, they're just like, well, I've got fiber in my house. Also got high-speed fiber. What's the deal? And so I really wanted to ask you if there is something you want, a message you want to give to us for 2021, especially when it comes to this, you know, how to use technology and everything. What do you anticipate in your heart? What is your prayer for the church? You know, your hope for people and for 2021? Maybe you can give us just a whatever you feel in your heart today as we end the show.
Yeah, the first thing that came to me just as you were saying that right now is it's a both and, is that we have to be engaged digitally, but we can't lose the physical personal connection. And I think that's just as you're describing that article too, I think that's going to be the key, is that balance between that in the next year. Because both of those places are where people are, but it's also what people need that drives us to those, our decision making and how we, you know, connect with people. How do we share the love of Christ in our neighborhoods? And I think one of the ways, that deceleration, as you described, is going to be in the small personal gatherings. I think the way of the, this is kind of my prediction here, so I might be totally wrong.
Yeah.
But I think the way of the large, huge gatherings, whether it's in worship or Bible studies or events or things, I think we're going small. I think we're going small and intimate. And I think that's also, I've also seen that hunger in people who don't know Christ as well as people who do. So my wish and prayer for the church is just that we would be able to see the opportunities, that God would give us the eyes to see those opportunities and the courage to step out into them.
That's so awesome. And I totally agree with you. I've used a word a lot during Voice of Change tonight, and that is the word love. I love this conversation. I love this show. I love talking about this. And you know what? It is actually so true that I really, really do. Even though I'm not such a social media fundi, I had to be encouraged just a few years ago by, you know, people that I knew, people in the publishing world that I knew when I released my first book. Everybody was like, why aren't you online? You know, why aren't you on social media? And I just was was like, I can't handle it. I don't want to get into that realm because it is quite a scary realm. And I remember first setting up social media and feeling actually quite anxious and fearful about it. But today, I really do rejoice in the fact that we as the user need to be the one that takes responsibility for our time, the amount of time that we spend online, what we're doing, what we're looking at, what our influences are, and also how to use this for a good reality and a good purpose and as a good tool. I've met so many beautiful people online and have the blessed privilege of teaching online every single week for the last 4 years, and that I don't take for granted. So you know what? It's always about us. It's always about how we're using something as a tool and remembering what discipleship looks like, and also knowing that it is about love. We are called to love and we are called to serve. And so we should not use social media as a substitute, as Chris said, but really, really as a tool. And we should also, like she also said, do some fun things, because I know that that will really, really impact people's lives and really, really get them connecting and just, you know, sharing that joy. I think there's so much that we have learned tonight, and I really pray that you have, you know, thought about a few things that we shared, thought about a few things that were said, and really see it as, you know what, I know a lot of people go, oh, social media is so evil, or the things that you know, this whole technology thing is just taking our time, or it's just causing all these problems. And yes, we know that it does, and we know that it is, but it's also up to us as the body of Messiah to use everything that we have been given effectively, and also with the right heart, with the right motive, and for the right purpose. And so, you know what, that's our challenge tonight. May we take that away with us. What am I doing in any aspect of my life? Do I have the right motive? And is this what God has called me to do? It's been so great to be with you. And again, I hope that you have an amazing, amazing evening. Until next time, see you then.
You are tuned to Radio Cape Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Radio that cares 24 hours a day. This insert was brought to you by Radio Cape Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.capepulpit.co.za.